Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, still to come in the next hour of the programme, we're going to head to Washington, where, just like us, they're bracing for the tariffs announcement. We have a very difficult listen coming up when we meet the reporter who bears witness to prison executions in the United States, and he'll take us inside the room when it happens. Also, it's cuckoo season. We're going to find out all there is to know about the bird, which is sadly in decline. Now, though, England football captain Harry Kane says footballers who have raised concerns about the growing congestion in the football calendar have largely been ignored. And with the new Club World Cup kicking off this summer, the question remains, are players physically capable of keeping up? And will the business of football heed the welfare concerns? Well, joining me now to talk about all of this is Miguel Delaney, who's a chief football writer with the London Independent. Now, Miguel, this has been raised by various football players, not just Harry Kane, and it's been described as a cannibalised calendar, but then we keep having new things added, like the Club World Cup. Is it a big problem?
Yes. First of all, I think for the football we actually see, Kane, as you say, Kane's not the first to say it. Rodri from Manchester City in Spain said it earlier in the season, only to then suffer a long-term injury shortly after that, which should be an alarm bell in itself. But also, I suppose, just for how football works. I mean, like at the moment, football is in this sort of gold rush where, you know, it's booming in America, it's booming in India. Everyone wants to kind of get in these new markets, but no one ever wants to give up any of their own space. So hence you have FIFA, who should really be the ultimate regulator of the sport. They should really be kind of, you know, adjudicating on all these issues, deciding where the calendar goes. Instead, they've become one of the great disruptors because Gianni Infantino, the FIFA president, used to be part of UEFA. He was the general secretary of UEFA. He saw how much money the Champions League made. And he basically wants FIFA to have their own version of it in this Club World Cup, which everyone else in football complains has been unilaterally imposed on the rest of the sport. It's going to be a real game changer because at the moment, the top clubs are looking at potential revenue there of $90 million, which far outstrips any other competition. Mm-hmm. But it's $90 million. And if given that, no matter how the tournament goes this summer, and remember a lot of the money comes indirectly from Saudi Arabia through the 10% stake in the DAZN broadcaster who have one of the broadcast partners for the company or for the competition. Sorry. The moves are eventually going to go for that the Club World Cup should be every 2 years. Like everyone sees this as inevitable. And while this argument, I suppose, the players make, nobody will have much sympathy for it. Because they'll just see the wages. They'll tell players to get on with it. But ultimately, to me, this comes down to do I want to see Leo Messi at 100% or 50%? Well,
yeah. You see, we do have to turn our perception of footballers on its head here, because, like you say, we think about a professional football player and you think about the money that they're on, and you look at their lifestyle. They drive their fast car into the grounds. They play a bit of football. Then they play video games. Someone gives them a massage and they do a bit more exercise in the afternoon. They play a couple of matches during the week. Like, it looks grand. So does Harry Kane have a point when he says that the concerns they've expressed about all of this have been ignored? And can you understand why they've been ignored?
This comes as part of this absurd racist football. And yes, players have been ignored, which is why now FIFPro, the major global players union, have been considering, or have already kind of talked about legal action against FIFA. Because even if you take in all these lifestyle things, let's remember, we're getting charged a lot in terms of broadcasting and in terms of match tickets, certainly at that sort of elite level, and certainly where I am in the UK with the Premier League, to watch football. So if you're getting charged that much, and prices are only going to keep going up given all these competitions and given the competition between them all, are we really seeing what's worth our money? What fans even deserve to see in that sense? Like that's kind of the knock-on effect here. And I mean, like, look at the most recent example. So FIFA themselves, the week Kane said that, I was there listening to him. It was in the mix zone at Wembley after England's second international game, the one against Latvia. Now, FIFA's recommendation is that there should be 72 hours between between any game a player plays. Now, with England, which, and this was under FIFA's jurisdiction because it was the FIFA World Cup qualifiers, both of those games were within 72 hours of each other. The Friday night game finished at about 9:45. The Monday game started at 7:45. Mm-hmm. So even if FIFA basically can't... So, and remember, they are the ultimate authority in all this, can't even sort a calendar that sense. Well, it shows the mess. And there's another one now, with that Club World Cup as well, that Kane is in with Bayern Munich, that Bellingham is going to be in with Real Madrid, that the Manchester City players and Chelsea are going to be in. So... again, you've got another international break at the end of the season. That goes to about, I think it's the 10th or 11th of June. The Club World Cup starts on the 15th of June. And normally in those cases, FIFA or if it was the UEFA tournament, they'd want the players in the country 5 days beforehand. But even there, FIFA have just had to shorten it to 3 days to accommodate their own qualifiers. And there is just this sense of a calendar that can't really hold. And I think we're seeing that in more injuries, because like injury crises have been an absolute theme of the Premier League season. In a lot of games, they kind of, like if you look at the recent Champions League finals, there's almost this, and this is supposed to be the pinnacle of the sport, there's almost this sense of kind of, you know, boxers slugging it out at the end of it, you know, at the 12th round, just throwing in whatever they've got left. And again, this isn't the way the sport as it should be, or the sport as you'd want it, should be played.
Yeah, I mean, is there any recourse for the players? I mean, just using that example of the Club World Cup, where their break is shortened now because they'll be travelling and so on, who can they complain to about that if it's FIFA who are bending the rules?
Well, it's why basically there has been talk of legal action and also strike. Now, there is the other side of this, which is basically that the more these competitions get created, it's in keeping with this, what in truth is an insane wage race that has basically driven football for the last 30 years, basically since the Bosman ruling in the 90s, and you know when players could move at the end of once their contracts ended, they could move for free. Since then, basically, had this escalating race. It's almost like football has all these impulses on many different sides, and it's why kind of, you know, we've spoken about this in the show before, but it's that is such a strange place in its history where, mm-hmm. yes, it's the most popular sport in the world. You know, historians like Tom Holland argue it's the most popular sport that's ever existed, but that's attracted all sorts of interest from the financial to the political, trying to extract some form of capital on this. And it comes at a time when there's a governance crisis for the game.
Yeah. And on the other side of this, of course, we're all going to look forward to having football to watch in June and July. You know, we want it. The demand is there.
I mean, is there a demand for this Club World Cup, though? Which is another side to this. I mean,
well, we'll watch it, though. I mean, fans will watch it, won't they? That's why they're doing it.
I think if it's on TV, it's one of those things that just that people turn on. Mm-hmm. FIFA did struggle for a broadcast partner for this for a long time, until they agreed a deal with DAZN towards the end of last year. There's been some worrying signs about potential ticket sales in the USA itself.
Yeah,
and it does just feel like a kind of I discussed it there about kind of the Champions League prize money. There's all sorts of other questions about the motivation of this competition. Even though I think actually, in principle, the idea of a competition that's created to spread some of football's wealth outside of Western Europe is a good thing. If we're talking about the major European clubs getting 90 million for turning up, I'm not sure that really lends itself to doing that, or even to this being the best tournament. Okay. Pep Guardiola has even spoken about his players going off playing golf during the tournament.
Yeah, well, I'd expect that to happen too. Miguel, thanks so much. Miguel Delaney there from the London Independent.